morning by my body time. And I still had the meeting that I had to go to first thing the next morning. So it was an interesting time trying to get out of town. Coming back on Thursday, I was supposed to be there for a 3:30 flight, and I arrived at the airport at 2 o'clock, and that plane didn't leave until 7. Connecting flight in Houston, and so I had to get on the last flight that was going out of Houston, which was at 10 o'clock p.m. I got into the Charlotte airport this past Thursday night at 1:30 in the morning, and got home at 2:30 and got into bed at 3 o'clock in the morning, Saturday morning, from just trying to get home. That's all the time. I just want to get home. So I have my iPod with me, and I was listening to Dallas Willard. He has some podcasts, and I was listening to Dallas Willard until I got on the plane in Houston, and I was so emotionally and mentally spent from all of the stress of the day that I thought to myself, I'm just going to listen to some music. So I put my music on random, and I started letting it just, I just leaned my head over against the window on the plane and closed my eyes and had my earphones in, and I'm just letting the iPod pick whatever it wants to play, and I'm just going to sit there and I'm going to listen to it. And all of a sudden, this song came on, and I thought to myself as I listened to this song, what a treasure this is that I have this captured. And as I thought about what a treasure this is, there are some of you I think will feel the same way, and so I want to share this treasure with you.
Thank you. Once again the scene was changed to earth there seemed to be. I saw the holy city beside the timeless sea. The light of God was on its streets, the gates were open wide, and all the
CD, and you can have it after service today as a gift to you. All righty. Dorothy's not here today, so I guess the kids are staying with us, I'm assuming. Or are they going with you? Okay, kids are going with Stephen, so if all the kids want to go to a kid's place, if you'll come this way, quickly, please. You'll have fun, sweetie. Come on up here and let the preacher pray for you. Will you marry me? I am not too old. Maybe too old to marry her, but I'm not too old. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the children. We bless them in your name. And we pray today that by the power of your Holy Spirit, you would change their hearts, change their spirits, move them closer to you. For eternity's sake, we pray.
Amen.
Anyone need to borrow a Bible? If you raise your hand, I can loan you a Bible. Yes, anybody else? Or about anybody need an outline? If you raise your hand, I'll get Bryce to give you one. Bryce, let me an outline up here for Samina, please. Man, that thing hit my iPod, and I was like, I didn't know I had that. Yay! Okay. Bryce, if you close that door for me, please. I'm going to ask you, if you would, to stand with me. Just one more time. And let's pray together. Today, by the power of the Holy Spirit, I will hear and apply a truth to my life that I may be transformed into his image. Thank you. You may be seated. For me, this is a relatively short sermon. Sometimes shorter is better, and that's fine, but I just got a couple of things I want to share with you. Turn with me in your Bibles, please, to the book of Deuteronomy, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter, and I know this is not on your outline. Deuteronomy chapter 30. In Deuteronomy, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy chapter 30. I'm going to read verses 11 through 14. For this commandment which I command you this day is not too difficult for you. Is not too difficult for you, nor is it far off. It is not a secret laid up in heaven that you should say, who shall go up to heaven and bring it to us that we may hear and do it? Neither is it beyond the sea that you should say, who shall go over the sea for us and bring it to us that we may hear and do it? Now look at verse 14. But the word is very near to you. How near? In your mouth. In your mind. In your heart. Why? So that you can do it. I was just reminded as I was driving in this morning that this is where, let me say this. A year or so back, we took a turn as a fellowship, and this is what started the turn. This was even back before you came, Mike. That we started with this verse that it's not too difficult for me to do what God says do, because the Word of God is near to me. It is in my mouth. It is in my mind. It is in my heart. I can do it. And that's where we took a turn. I don't know how long back, months back, we took a turn right there. Then we went to, if you'll turn with me please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 is where we went after Deuteronomy 30. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Verse 12, everything is permissible, allowable, and lawful for me, but not all things are helpful or good or expedient or profitable. Everything is lawful to me, comma, but. Everything is lawful to me, comma, but. I will not become the slave of anything or be brought under its power. It is not too difficult for you, but the word is very near to you. It is in your mouth and in your mind and in your heart, and you can do it. What I can do is I will not become the slave of anything. Except the power of the Holy Spirit over my life. This morning as I was coming in, I will almost venture to call it a vision. Although, I don't want you to think that God gave me a vision while I was driving, but I think of it as a vision while I was driving. If God gives you a vision while you're driving, you're not in danger. Okay? But it was almost like a vision as I was coming in this morning. That where we are spiritually as a fellowship is much like where Gideon's army was when they went down to the creek to drink. That there is an opportunity for us to either move forward and capture the victory or an opportunity to be sent home. There's an opportunity to be on our guard or an opportunity to stick our faces in the water. There's an opportunity for us to remain focused on the battle and the victory that is ahead, or to be distracted and unfocused and not and be sent home. And I believe that spiritually as a fellowship, that's where we are. I understand that not everybody's been happy or in agreement with the topic that we've been talking about the last several Sundays. And you know what? Agreement isn't necessary. Unity through conformity is called communism. Unity through diversity is called Christianity. It's okay that we're not all in agreement. We've not touched any of the sacred things, virgin birth, blood atonement, sacrifice at Calvary, resurrection, and coming again. We haven't touched any of those sacred cows that are untouchable. The conversation of blood atonement is not on the table. It's off the table. Virgin birth is off the table. That Jesus bodily resurrected is off the table. That he is coming again is off the table. Now, if you want to be a mid-trib, or if you want to be a post-trib, or a mid-trib, or a pre-trib, or a no-trib, or if you want to be like me and you think there are two raptures, okay, fine. I really don't care. Because what's going to happen is, I have a feeling it's going to happen one way, and it's going to be one we never, none of us all come. It's going to all, yeah, I'm going to be a pan trip. It's going to all pan out. I'm not going to worry about the trip. But you know, from personal experience, looks like to me, let me back up and say this. I'm not going to say that perfection on this side of eternity is not attainable. What I am going to say, I ain't there. And you ain't there. And I don't know anybody who is there. And I don't know anybody in 2,000 years who's written a book saying they got there. In fact, everybody I've read over the last 2,000 years who got closer, all the people whose names, let's look at it like this. Let's look at it like this. It'd be nothing short of a miracle if my grandchildren's children even know who I am. I mean, I might be on a piece of paper on a family tree somewhere, but it won't be on a piece of paper. By the time they come on a computer somewhere. I'll be on some kind of little family tree sort of thing, you know. But there are names that I could call out. We'd all, you know, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, John Wesley, Charles Spurgeon, Martin Luther. We all know who I'm talking about. Those guys' names have lived on literally for centuries. None of them ever reached perfection either. Early's never wrote about it. In fact, John Wesley was married to a woman who used to travel around and disrupt his services and call him names and cut him out. And yet, one of the greatest evangelists to ever live, Jonathan Edwards, Arthur Pink. People love Arthur Pink. Arthur Pink's one of my favorites. I'm a Pinky at heart. People thought Arthur Pink was crazy. They thought he'd gone insane. They had studied the Bible so much he lost his mind. That's what they thought about Arthur Pink. And yet, here, 50 years after his death, he's being studied and read and preached behind 50 years after he's been dead. And people still collect his works. I still collect his works. But I don't ever remember Pink ever writing about, I've reached a place. If that place is out there, we'll work towards it. But today, we're just simply not there. So, where do we go from here? On your outline, before I do number one, would you put an A, because I added something to my outline this morning. In order to move forward from here with people who are hurting, we have to be people who are trustworthy. Trustworthy is the word that came to me this morning. I'm not going to share my hurts with Samima if I feel that Samima can't be trusted with my hurts. And where we go from here is that we make sure that we establish, protect, and maintain the integrity of our word. We have got to be trustworthy people.
We have got to be people that when we learn something about someone, it doesn't shock us. And that no matter what happens in the rest of our relationship with each other, that we never use what we know to our own advantage. That we can be trusted people. That if I tell you something, Cindy, that I'm going to take to my grave, I want to know that you're going to take it to your grave. And if we are ever going to be the kind of people where, number one, we can be honest with each other, and number two, where other people can be honest with us, we have got to be people who are trustworthy. Trust is earned, and it is very difficult to get and very, very, very easy to lose. One word, one sentence, one misspeak, one slip, and years of work can come cascading in and create a bunch of rubble and a lot of dust. So, this just came to me this morning as I was riding in this morning. One of the things that we've got to, where we go from here is that we need to be sure, under the light of the scrutiny of the Holy Spirit, that we are people that when people are hurting and they talk to us about their hurts, that we always are trustworthy people. Number one. Where do we go from here? Talk to me. Psalm 139:23 says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts." If you ever have an opportunity on a project or something where you and I are working together, and Mike's experienced this, where we're working together in close proximity to each other, I don't do a lot of communication by writing. Most of my communication is oral or verbal. And so whenever I need to tell you something, but let's say that you're not around, what I'll do is we're working close to each other and I need to leave you a note. I won't leave you a note about what I need, about what I want to talk to you about. I'll take a stickum and I'll write these letters. TTM. And everybody knows that when you see a sticker from Don that says TTM, that means talk to me. Because I'm not going to write you a note because I don't write notes. But I'll tell you what it is I need to tell you. And very seldom do I ever forget what it was I needed to tell you. That's from that highly structured over to the organized side. Okay, I remember what it is I need to tell you, but I'm not going to write it down for you. I don't have time for that. I'm going to put TTM, put a little post-it on something, and you'll know that I need to talk to you. We need to send a postum to God with a TTM on it. Talk to me, O God. Search me. Try me. Know me. In fact, out of the message, it reads like this. Investigate my life, O God. Find out everything about me. Cross-examine and test me. Get a clear picture of what I'm about. See for yourself whether I've done anything wrong, then guide me on the road to eternal life. In this process that we've been talking about for the last several weeks, one of the places where we'll need to go from here is to always have our hearts, our spirits, our ears, and our eyes open to God speaking to us into our lives. You see, one of the reasons why we're talking about this is that you can lose a drop in the ocean, but you can't lose an ocean in a drop. You can lose a drop in the ocean, but you can't lose an ocean in a drop. And see, the perspective I want us to come at is that God is like an ocean. And we're just a drop in it. It isn't that God is like a drop or that God is like an ocean and He loses Himself in me. That I can reach some state to where all that God is all that I am. Because you can't lose an ocean in a drop. But the mindset should be that I want to be a drop that is lost in the ocean. Then it's in Him. It's not that in me He lives and moves and has His being. It's in Him that I live and move and have my being. See? It is no longer the ocean who lives in me, but it is now the ocean. I live in the ocean. That I don't live for myself, but I live for something that is bigger than me, that is grander than me, that is greater and more glorious than me. And all that the ocean is all that I am. But the ocean is not me. I am only part of the ocean. And as part of the ocean, can the eye say to the hand, I have no need of thee? For as part of the ocean, we are all part of the majesty and the greatness of God. Talk to me, God. Search me. Try me. Investigate my life. Know, O God, my hidden ways. And TTM me, God. TTM me, God. Whatever it is you find, talk to me. I am listening. Whatever it is you find, talk to me. I am listening. Number two, where do we go from here? Judge not. The Amplified in Luke 6:37 says, judge not, neither pronouncing judgment nor subjecting to censure, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn and pronounce guilty, and you will not be condemned to pronounce guilty. Acquit and forgive and release, and you will be acquitted, forgiven, and released. And in an innate desire, and sometimes we consider it privilege or right to judge others. I am not my own. I have been bought with a price. And I don't have the right to judge another man's servant. I can help another man's servant and I can be supportive of another man's servant because not only are we servants in the kingdom, but we are family in the kingdom. And so we can be supportive and we can be there for each other. But it isn't my job to judge. Even when people come to me and they say things like, well, Pastor, I want to talk to you. Do they want to know what I think? Or do they want to know what it is God has said about that particular thing they're bringing to me? Hey, if you want to know what I think, you're probably going to be in a bigger mess by the time you leave. But God has the answers to all of our questions. God, in fact, the answer to every question is this: more Jesus. But sometimes what we fail to remember is that in every experience of reconciliation, somebody's got to die. And so if I'm coming to Pastor Mike and I'm dragging my wife with me and, you know, we need to talk to you, I'm going to tell you, whatever it is going on between me and my wife, all we need is more of Jesus. The answer is, Don, love her and give your life for her as Christ loved the church. Michelle, honor your husband. Well, but what about? There ain't no whatabouts. There's no whatabouts. See, we want to complicate the issue. It's simple. The instruction given to us was, make the vision plain. If it ain't plain, I can't get it. Make it plain. Make it simple. I deal with this all week long. When I'm training these guys how to do what it is we do, one of the first things I start off in training class by saying to them is this. This is not an easy job, but this is a simple job. This is not an easy job, but this is a simple job. Don't complicate it. It's just 1, 2, 3. That's it. That's all. And I see them sitting there struggling with it. I'm like, why are you wrestling? Don't complicate it. It's not that big a deal. Just do it this way. That's all you gotta do. But something in our head goes, can't be that simple. Why can't it? Why can't the gospel be simple? It had to be simple. You know why? Because we're all a bunch of sheep. The Bible didn't say, Einstein's come follow me. It said sheep. And sheep are stupid. And I'm stupid. It's got to be simple for me to get it. Don, you want marriage counseling? Die. There's your marriage counseling. Michelle, you want marriage counseling? Here you go. Respect and honor. Tell me more. There is no more. Just do that. Just do that. The message reads, don't pick on people jumping on their faults, criticizing their faults, unless, of course, you want the same treatment. You want me to read that one more time? That was an honest answer right there. No, don't read it. The message, verse 37, don't pick on people, jump on their faults and criticize their faults, unless, of course, you want the same treatment. Don't condemn those who are down. That hardness can boomerang. Be easy on people. You'll find life a lot easier. Give away your life. You'll find life given back. But not merely given back. Given back with bonuses and blessings. Giving, not getting, is the way. Generosity begets generosity. You know, we were talking this morning right before Elder's Prayer and about a particular situation between a husband and a wife. And I said to the elders, I said, yeah, it's a matter of sowing and reaping. My wife will say to me all the time, you're the best husband in the world. And I say, you know why? Because you're the best wife in the world. It's the law of sowing and reaping. You get what you give. And if she nagged me and bite on me and argued and fussed, and guess what you get back? Yeah? Unless I'm a bigger man than that, which most men are not. Teresa said.
She's right.
But you see what I'm saying? When you criticize, you get criticism. When you judge, you get judged. When you bicker, you get more bickering. It's like, what is it they say? When you take an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, you got a bunch of blindless tooth people. Blindless and teeth people with no teeth and no eyes. You know? That's what you wind up with. But see, somehow or another, we want to pass judgment on Martha. Well, have you know, do you hear about Martha? See? So don't be surprised when somebody's whispering your name. Because that's the way the law works. Number three. Watch your heart. Matthew 6:21 says, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." The message reads this way. Don't hoard treasure down here when it gets where it gets eaten by moths and corroded by rust, or worse, stolen by burglars. Stockpile treasure in heaven where it's safe from moth and rust and burglars. It's obvious, isn't it? The place where your treasure is the place you most want to be, and is the place where you end up being. That's interesting the way the message says that, isn't it? The place where your treasure is the place you want to be, and is the place where you'll wind up being. We need to watch our hearts. What is it that my heart is after? What is it that causes my heart to jump and go, yay? What is it that is my mind is focused on? And my attention is set. What is it that Pastor Jim used to say to us, give me 5 minutes with the register out of your checkbook. That's back when checkbooks used to have registers. We all do it online now. He used to say, give me 5 minutes with the register out of your checkbook and I'll tell you where your treasure is. Remember him used to say that? And you know what? That's right. Because wherever it is we're spending our money, that's where our treasure is. Wherever it is we're focusing our mind, that's where our treasure is. Wherever it is you invest your time, that's where your treasure is. Because whatever the treasure is that is inside of our heart, that is exactly where we're going to end up. We will always be gravitating in the direction of our heart. Yes, Judy? Okay. Right. Yeah. Okay. I can see that. Whatever the treasure is that is inside of us, that's where our lives will gravitate towards. So what we have to do, where do we go from here? We better watch our heart. It was interesting here the other Sunday when, in fact, I don't know if I told you all this. Remember the other Sunday when we were talking about Gideon? And I asked you how many of you know the story of Gideon? You know, and he's hiding up under the hay cart, and God calls him, and he puts together an army, and they go in to defeat the Philistines. And then I ask you, how many of you know what happened after that? And nobody in the room, I think there's one person. One person knew what happened after that. Which was, and in fact, when I said, I said, does anybody know what happened after that? One person raised their hand. I said, they wanted to make Gideon king. And Gideon said, no, I don't want to be king, but what I'd like for you to do is I'd like for everybody to take one earring and give me the earring. And then I said, does anybody know what Gideon did with those earrings? And Anna leaned over to Tripp. She said, he went out and bought a bunch of Bibles and stuck them in motels. He went out and bought a bunch of Bibles and stuck them in motels. Yeah. I said, Gideon Bibles, you'll get it in a minute. Yeah. So the two of them are rolling in the floor, and I'm like, what did I say that was funny? But it was Anna. Anna was like, yeah, he went out and bought a bunch of Bibles. But what he did was he took those earrings and he melted them down and he made a god, and he led the people into idolatry is what he did. So instead of worshiping him, he just asked for them to worship what was the creation of his hands. Now, why was I going with that? Oh, because we are most susceptible to our greatest fall after our greatest victory. Which leads me back to point number one. TTM me, God. TTM me, God. TTM me, God. Talk to me. Search me. Try me. Know me, O God. Because it's right after I call down fire from heaven and you lick up all the water and you consume all of the idols and you consume all of the altars that it's not a week later and I'm in a cave going, oh, woe is me. It is right after my greatest victories that I'm most susceptible to my greatest failures. I've got to watch my heart under the leadership of the person of the Holy Spirit. Lastly, I told you this was short. Where do we go from here? Love God. The Amplified says of Luke 10:27, and Jesus replied, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." The Message reads that you love the Lord your God with all of your passion. That you love the Lord your God with all of your passion and prayer and muscle and intelligence, and that you love your neighbor as you do yourself. You know, guys, let me push the rewind button for just a second. The reason why the Bible teaches us that we love Him, for what reason? Because He first loved us. That's exactly right. As a matter of fact, there's nothing that angers and upsets me more than our own stupidity. I'm listening to a guy on the radio give this commentary. You know, it was a Christian. I was listening to K-Love. And what I do when I rent a car is I hit scan until I find the Christian radio station, and then I hit all of the presets for that one station. So whoever gets in the car next and starts hitting the presets are all set on the same channel. So I'm listening to K-Love, and just something I do to entertain myself. And this guy's on there, and he's talking, and this is what he says. And just like the Bible says that when we turn our eyes upon Jesus and stare into His face, those things of this world grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. And I went, moron, that ain't in the Bible. That's a song. Idiot, it's our own stupidity that upsets me the most. If you're going to quote the Bible, quote the Bible. If you're going to quote a song, quote a song. But don't think that a song came out of the Bible when it didn't. Anyway. The reason why we don't love God and love our neighbor is because we don't believe that God loves us. Because the reason we love God is why, Charlie? Because He first loved us. And so we would love God if we believed God loved us. But we don't believe God loves us, so we don't love God. And because we don't love God, we can't love our neighbor. And because we don't love God and don't love our neighbor, we don't love ourselves. And so actually, we do love our neighbor as ourselves, because we don't love ourselves, so we don't love our neighbor. Speaking of rewind, would you hit that again? Because I can't do that over. Yeah. So I'm riding down the road this week, and I found this little funny sign, but I saw this other sign that said, "Warning, prepare to meet God." And I was greatly offended by the billboard. Because we don't have to, because God is not a God to be feared in meeting Him. Now, granted, I will give you that if you meet Him and you're not redeemed, you got hell to worry about. Okay? But everybody who goes to hell because they deserve to go to hell. Everybody who goes to heaven because Jesus has saved them. Did you think I was going to say because you deserve to go to heaven? Okay, good. Good, because I wasn't going to go there. Because Jesus is worthy of His reward is why anybody gets in heaven at all. I'm going to say that one more time. The only reason anybody gets in heaven at all is because Jesus is worthy of His reward. Okay? But God is not a God to be feared because we're going to meet Him. Why isn't there an anticipation in meeting God? Why isn't there an excitement in meeting God? Because the portrayal of the church to the world is that God is angry. And He's upset and He's pissed off. And you killed His Son. And boy, when He gets a hold of you, He gonna straighten you out. When the truth of the matter is that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. That whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The billboard should have read, "Get excited! You're gonna meet God!" Because there's not anybody who's going to meet God and not get to stay who didn't in their own heart know they didn't deserve to stay. Now that comment I just made could round up a thousand questions. But let me just put it to you this way. I can't answer for every, you know, well, what about the people who've never heard? You know, I don't know the answer to all those. Here's what I do know. God is just and fair. Amen. And so those who have heard, excuse me, those who have never heard, I entrust them to a God who is just and fair. For those who are sitting in seats under steeples for 80 years, and are as lost as a goldfish, I entrust them to a God who is just and fair. And to the guy who is the pastor at Lamplight Church, I entrust him to a God who is just and fair. There is a day of reckoning coming. And there will not be anyone who will stand before our God and say, that ain't right. You ain't going to hear them words. Here's the words you are going to hear, though. Jesus is Lord. Where do we go from here? We've got to learn to love God with a passion. How do I know that you love God with a passion? Because you love your neighbors with a passion. How do I know if you don't love God with a passion? Because you don't love your neighbors with a passion. Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. That's what we need to seek to save because of what he did at a place called Calvary. That you love the Lord your God with all your passion and prayer, muscle and intelligence, and that you love your neighbor as well as you do yourself. God, where do I go from here? I really do not know. But this I do know. The steps of your children are ordered by you. I don't put my trust in what I know. I put my trust in your order. For you are an orderly God. My faith is not in me, it's in you. My faith, my trust is not in me, it's in you. My hope is not in me, my hope is in you. I thank you, O God, that your commands are not too difficult for me, that your word is near. It is in my mouth. It is in my mind. It is in my heart. And standing before you today, O God, I declare with my lips, yes, I can do it. Not because of my strength, not because of my resolve, not because of my ability, but because greater is he who is in me than anything that I can face in this world. I give you honor today in Jesus' name. Amen.